Today, we are continuing in our Living Loved series as we journey through the book of Ephesians and discover what the Apostle Paul tells us about living lives in Christ, about living loved in Jesus Christ. You know, we actually started this series in the middle of Ephesians last week with the prayer of Paul. It was his prayer that we would be filled with the fullness of God. Remember that he prayed we would be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in our inner being so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith, so that we could be rooted and established in love, and we could grasp how high and deep and long and wide is the love of Christ, so that we could fully know and understand the love that passes all understanding, so that we may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. I don't know about you guys, but all week long I have lived in the fullness of God. It's just a beautiful thing to know. This is what living loved is all about. Today we're going to back up a little bit, and we're going to look at what it is that compels us towards the desire to live loved. Our scripture today is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And I'm reading from the CEB, but you can follow along in your Bibles, and there, most of the translations are very similar. At one time, you were like a dead person because of the things you did wrong and your offenses against God. You used to live like people of this world. You followed the rule of a destructive spiritual power. This is the spirit of disobedience to God's will that is now at work in persons whose lives are characterized by disobedience. At one time, you were like those persons. All of you used to do whatever felt good and whatever you thought you wanted to, so that you were children headed for punishment just like everyone else. However, God is rich in mercy. He brought us to life with Christ while we were dead as a result of those things that we did wrong. He did this because of the great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace. And God raised us up and seated us in the heavens with Christ Jesus. God did this to show future generations the greatness of his grace by the goodness that God has shown us in Christ Jesus. You are saved by God's grace because of your faith. This salvation is God's gift. It's not something you possessed. It's not something you did that you can be proud of. Instead, we are God's accomplishment, created in Christ Jesus to do good things. God planned for these good things to be the way that we live our lives. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. A couple of verses in there that are repeat worthy, powerful words. He did this because of the great love that he has for us. You are saved by God's grace. How about this? By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your doing, it is the gift of God. Powerful scriptures. By grace you have been saved. Through God's grace. Through the love of his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. It's a gift. Now, I could probably just quit right there and we could all just go home. That's a pretty good thing to know right there. Pretty much says it all for me, don't you think? But we need to talk about just a little bit what this grace that Paul is talking about here. And you know, Tina Turner used to sing that song, "What's Love Got to Do with It?" Well, we need to ask ourselves, what does love got to do with God's grace? I imagine if I surveyed 50 different people and asked them what they thought the meaning of grace was, I would get probably 50 different answers. God's amazing grace. We sing about it. We talk about it. We say it all the time, by God's grace. Or we say, but for grace, I would have, fill in the blank there. We ask for it when we pray, Lord, please give me the grace to make it through this. Now, a little bit of trivia here, and it depends on the translation you're reading, but the word grace is used approximately 170 times throughout Scripture. And within the context of our Scripture, the Greek and Hebrew meaning for grace points to God's favor. It involves mercy, love, and forgiveness. The word is derived from the Greek word charis, which means gift. So grace then is a gift, an unearned gift, not something that we are entitled to or that we deserve, but because of God's favor. Some theologians will tell you that the whole of the Bible can be summed up in one word, grace. Now for John Wesley, God's great grace is evident throughout all of his theology. Wesley speaks of grace as unmerited favor, and he taught that grace is not something created by God like a pixie dust that he sprinkles all over everybody and you've received grace. It's not like a divine medicine dispensed through your works or your sacraments. Wesley believed that grace is not apart from God, but it is the very essence of God. It is the presence of God. The two cannot be separated. And as children of God, we know that God has promised to always be with us. There is nowhere we can go without the presence of God. So this would then mean that grace is the presence of God in our lives. Our United Methodist heritage is rooted in a deep and profound understanding of grace. This grace that flows from God's great love from us. The Book of Discipline defines grace as the undeserved, unmerited, and loving action of God in human existence through the ever-present Holy Spirit. But then it states further, we hold that the wonder of God's acceptance and pardon do not end God's saving work, which continues to nurture our growth in grace. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are enabled to increase in the knowledge and love of God and in love for our neighbor. That's in our Book of Discipline. That is something that we received from John Wesley. In other words, it's saying that our salvation, we know, is through Jesus Christ. But that's just the beginning. God's grace keeps us there. It was God's grace because of the love for his creation through Jesus Christ, that we are saved, not for anything that we've done, but because of God's unmerited favor. God's grace is in our lives, in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our minds. God's grace is in our prayers and in our worship and in our service to God. And most of all, grace is in our relationship with God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Grace is God's presence in our lives. It has the power to create, heal, forgive, reconcile, and transform human hearts. God's grace can transform our communities, and it can transform our world, his creation. Wherever God is, there is grace. Now, grace brought creation into existence. Grace birthed human beings. Grace bestowed on us the divine image of Jesus Christ and is forever transforming all of creation into the realm of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of compassion, justice, generosity, and peace. All those things are God's grace. It is the loving action of God. It is the unmerited favor of God. That is what Paul is claiming in our scripture when he says, "By grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your doing, it is the gift of God. It is the action of God in your lives." Amen. Now, this grace, it covers a lot of territory throughout the entire living word. It has been present and evident since the very beginning of creation. It has been evident through God's covenant with the people of Israel. It is evident through his Son, Jesus Christ, and his death and resurrection. And it is evident through this very moment here today. God has said, "I will never leave you or forsake you," which means that God is ever present in our lives. And where God is, there is grace, the very presence of God living in us. Which leads me to believe that this whole gift of grace is not a one-time deal, is it? It's not like we have a shopping list and we got grace, so we're marking that off the list. No, it's something that we continually seek. It's a lifelong journey. It is a journey with God, a relationship with God that begins with grace. John Wesley taught us that there are three ways in which grace saves us, transforms us, and guides us. And those three ways he called prevenient, justifying, and sanctifying grace. Now, those are all three beautiful sermons that we're going to hear later. I'm not going to get into it today, but we need to know and understand that God's grace has been with us before we were even thought of. It is God's grace that caused us to turn to him. It is God's grace that gets us through those hard times where we might even question if God is in our lives. It is God's grace that keeps us rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. And it is through grace that we are filled with the fullness of God. God's grace meets us where we are in this journey we call living loved.